Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. In today's podcast, we are going to discuss what it means to save our soul and why it is so important.
And Bill, now among Christians, we rejoice when we hear souls are saved. And absolutely, there is nothing more important and exciting than seeing a person turn from sin, turn to the Lord, and receive salvation.
That's right.
We understand that when we say souls, we mean people were saved. However, after someone becomes a Christian, their soul still needs saving because we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we possess a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body.
Exactly. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when a person is saved, their spirit is born again, as Jesus stated in John 3:3. Their spirit is now regenerated or made alive to God. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Now that when a person is in Christ, they are a new creation and have received eternal life." So previously, this person was spiritually dead and would go directly to hell when they die. Our body dies, but our soul and spirit live forever.
I know, that's an important distinction. And Hebrews 4:12 backs this up, and I'm not going to read the entire verse, but it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." So notice the division of soul and spirit. They are two different parts of our being, not one in the same.
That's right.
And we do know that demons work through our five physical senses and our unrenewed mind to try and defeat us. Born-again Christians have a new heart and a new spirit, but our soul, our mind, will, and emotions still needs work.
That's right. Let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, brethren," or beseech means plead, beg, or urge, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
That's so good. I love that verse because it's encouraging us not to be conformed to the world, but the way we do that is renew our minds. But I also like, Bill, what it says on how to please God and to know his will in that verse. To first present and dedicate our bodies to God, which that's a sacrifice, right?
Right.
And number two, be transformed or changed by the renewing of our minds with his word. And I know a lot of Christians struggle with sin and you know, challenges and things, but, you know, we do everything, we overcome everything by his grace, and we do it when we renew our minds with his word.
That's right. You know, in Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So it's the more word we get in, the less we sin, and that is what renews our mind.
That's what changes us.
Right. You know, in Luke 4:4, Jesus said, "We don't live by bread or physical food alone, but by every word of God." Just like our muscles must be fed with healthy food and exercise in order to grow and become strong, so our spirit must be fed with God's word on a daily basis in order to get strong and dominate our soul and body. You know, spirit-led living enables us to overcome life's trials and avoid many problems. You know, think of it this way. With our spirit, we contact the spiritual realm. With our soul, we contact the intellectual or emotional realm. And with our body, we contact the physical realm.
Yeah, that's well said. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls." So the word of God, again, must get into our heart, be planted, in our heart and our mind, and that, you know, will change our behavior and save our soul. And the word save in the Greek, Bill, is sozo, and it means to save, deliver, preserve, protect, heal, and make whole. So what it's saying is to save our souls is to save, deliver, protect, preserve, and heal our mind, will, and emotions.
Boy, that's a complete word. I like that. You know, there's God's part, and he did it. He made our spirit alive to God if we are born again. And then there's our part, to renew our minds with the Word of God. This is not instant, but it is a gradual and continual process throughout our lifetime. You know, an unrenewed mind gives access to the enemy. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." We have to know and obey the Bible so we're not deceived. You know, isn't that clear?
So true.
Now, Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, or to know the difference between right and wrong."
Oh, that's a good verse. And you can see that today, Bill, where a lot of Christians are calling evil good.
Right.
So
they don't discern the word of God.
You know, and we will deceive ourselves and fail to discern what is good and what is evil if we neglect to renew our minds with God's word, as you were saying. You know, and there are some out there that claim to be Christians, but they are falling for false teaching. And they may be Christians, maybe they're young believers, but they're falling for false teaching, embracing sinful lifestyles, and as I said, calling evil good.
I know. You know, we are responsible and accountable to develop our spiritual life. If we don't, our body, mind, and emotions will rule our life and will remain spiritually weak. You know, some people pride themselves in stating they've been a Christian for over 30 years, and yet they are still a spiritual infant. This believer remains an easy target for the devil's schemes through envy, strife, divisions, and offenses, as stated in James 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 3:1 through 3. So spiritual maturity has nothing to do with time, but with our obedience.
You know, it is time that all of us as Christians make saving our soul a priority. You know, and it takes humility to admit that maybe we're not the spiritual giant we think we are. Many times Christians want to step out quickly into ministry, go to college, or work in a secular environment without becoming spiritually strong through daily Bible reading, study, and prayer. You know, for example, there's a lot of statistics that state that most young people abandon their faith by the time they graduate college.
Yes, we've seen that.
And if we are spiritually weak, we'll easily be led astray. And we'll live a life led by our feelings and yield ourselves to confused worldly thinking. And that is a dangerous way to live.
Right. You know, 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth." You know, the key is to guard our heart. What we see and hear enters our heart, and we can become corrupted if we allow evil, doubt, unbelief, and the things much of our society embraces.
So true. And there's such good instruction in Proverbs 4. Just in closing, I wanted to read this. 4 through 20, starting at verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." That's quite a promise.
Right.
"Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." So God's saying to make that a priority. "Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil."
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.